and he's looking respectfully in the direction of Jahangir. But most significant is that the gesture he's making with his hands like that are the gesture of Indian deferential respect. No Turk would ever have done that.
But if the Ottoman Sultan is belittled by Jahangir's court painter, it says nothing compared to what happens to King James I of England, who is placed below the Emperor's feet wearing a look of what can only be described as sour resentment at his low place in the pecking order.
And the artist who's doing this and is enjoying it all has an exquisite self-portrait at the bottom of the painting. His name is Bichitra, he's a Hindu, we know that by the saffron robe, and it's a beautiful, beautiful profile self-portrait, exquisite details of the beard, of the turban, of his painterly hand, almost as refined as the technique he's used for the emperor himself.
In fact, this is a doubly reflective self-portrait, a miniature of a miniature. The one Bichitra is holding, and which tells us everything about the ambiguous status of the Mughal artist. There are the signs of favour, an elephant and two horses, which the emperor has given his painter, but on an understood condition.
Ultimately, for all that he's slipstreaming behind the power and the glory of Jahangir, he knows his place, and that's defined by the last detail in that tiny frame of him kneeling, prostrating himself at the feet of the Caesar of the world. And look where he is. He has literally backed himself into a corner.
For when all is said and done, these intricate, beautiful paintings are miniatures, book illustrations contained within the framing page, and their enjoyment confined to the emperor, his court, and anyone he sought to impress. Only once, albeit spectacularly, did Jahangir make art visible to all of his subjects. On the outer wall of Lahore Fort,